Hello and welcome to First Baptist Church. Today's speaker is Pastor Jeff Reynolds.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, because you died, we get to live. And for that, we are so thankful. Lord, we recognize that it is in your cross and your resurrection that we find our hope for eternal life. And so, Lord, now we pray that you would help us by the power of your Holy Spirit who is in this place to see Jesus high and lifted up. Draw us unto him. Make us more like him. For it's in his precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. If you're in the Red Pew Bible in front of you, that is page 312. And if you are a YouVersion Bible app user, you can tune in to our live event and follow along on your phone right now. I want to tell you, Veterans Day is a big deal to me, and that's because I grew up in the house of a dad who served our country, served our state through the Kentucky National Guard for 21 years, and so recognizing those who would stand in the gap for us and who would wear the uniform of the United States Armed Forces, whatever branch that may be, has always been an important part of my life. I was taught that from birth on, and Dad was in the 2123rd Transportation Division here in Bowling Green, and when Desert Shield became Desert Storm, his unit deployed, and he was unable to go because he had some major health concerns that they could not guarantee refrigeration of his medication in a desert. And so we would send care packages, and he had little notes that he would write on everything that we sent. And I'll keep the contents of those notes to myself, but every single piece of contents within those care packages was labeled for a person for a reason. And some of the finest men and women I've ever met have been those who have worn the uniform of any branch of our United States Armed Forces. And so today, we are thankful. We are remarkably thankful for those who would do battle on our behalf. And in that spirit, I wanted us to take a look at a battle that we can't see, but a battle that the Bible tells us is raging around us constantly. We are remarkably thankful for those who would go and fight, those who would threaten us, those who would threaten humans, those who would threaten freedom. And the Bible tells us there's another battle that is raging, a battle that we cannot see. So in the context of 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to see in the ministry of the prophet Elisha something that is remarkable. But I want to give you this theme today, and this is admittedly the longest theme I've ever given. It's huge, but it's important. God tells us that, quote, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's Ephesians 6, 12. But he also tells us that he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. That's Psalm 91, 11. Be encouraged. God is moving victoriously in the unseen realm. And we're going to see that acutely in this text. 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning with verse 8. Once, when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, at such and such a place shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. And he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him. It was told him, behold, he is in Dothan. Those of you who are Western Kentucky football fans will remember, by the way, you ought to be a Western Kentucky football fan. Go Tops. But you'll remember the UAB game where one of the major stories coming out of the game was this huge tarp that they lifted up on the sideline. Do you remember that? And the reason that they lifted up this huge tarp on the sidelines is because the UAB coaches were reading their play calls. They were reading their signals, and that's a big deal. When I played college football, we had every backup quarterback had to send in signals, and they were all sending in different signals using the same system, and there was a hot read. One of them was the actual read, sending in the actual play, and the reason was we wanted to make sure that the other team couldn't read our calls and thereby know what we were about to do. Well, that's exactly what God is doing here for Israel against Syria. He is letting Elisha the prophet know exactly what the enemy is going to do so that Elisha can warn the king of Israel so that God's people might be safe. The first point I want to give you today is this: nothing is hidden from God and those to whom God chooses to reveal it. The Bible is clear repeatedly that nothing is hidden from God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, Jesus said, "So have no fear of them," them being those who might persecute you, "for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known." That God knows all and God sees all, and nothing is hidden from Him. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, the writer of Hebrews says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." And so what is God doing? God is providentially warning Israel against Syrian attack through the voice of the prophet Elisha. And it's really messing with the king of Syria. Who's the spy? Who is the one that's reading our emails? Who's the one that is telling things that they ought not to tell? I said, no, God's fighting on their behalf, O king. So what does the king want to do? He wants to get rid of the prophet. He wants to get rid of the mouthpiece. He wants to get rid of the one who's telling them this is where they will come. So watch what happens. Verse 14. "So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' He said, 'Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" Now, what we just read ought not to make sense to you, because there's the prophet, there's his servant, and now they are surrounding them, this great army of warriors who are there to do battle against them. And so the servant gets up and he goes out and he sees this great horde who's there to harm them and to harm the people of Israel. And he says, "What are we supposed to do? It's over. There's no hope." And then the prophet speaks, and he says, no, it's okay. We got them outnumbered. Now, if you're that servant, what's going through your mind right now? What's going on with Elisha? He's lost it. It's over. He's crazy. It's done, right? Number two is this: those who are able to see with the eyes of faith, those who are able to see with the eyes of faith possess a fortitude others lack. I just told you that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, Jesus said, "Don't fear those who persecute you, because nothing is hidden from God." He continues in that passage. He says, "What I tell you in the dark," this is Jesus speaking, "say in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." He's talking about fear God. But now listen to this. Listen to the assurance that our Lord Jesus gives to His disciples. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you're His disciple. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." So if you're in Christ, I want you to hear that God's on your side. Now, that doesn't mean that God's on your side in sinfulness. God's not on your side in pridefulness. God opposes the proud. But if you are in Christ, if you've repented of your sin and you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that means you're God's child. And God is battling on your behalf. God is moving victoriously in an unseen realm of which you do not know. And so Paul could write to Timothy, for this reason, this is 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that we can confidently say in Christ, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If you're in Christ, your Bible tells you that you are more than a conqueror through Him who loved you. That no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. For you belong to the Lord. And let me tell you what your future is. You face an eternity in glory with your God who made you, loves you, has redeemed you, and will see you through finishing the work that He has begun in you. And so let me tell you something. Even if they take your life, they still lose. Even if your life comes to an end, you still win in Christ. Because the final enemy we face, the enemy of death, has already been defeated by our Savior. And so no weapon formed against you in Christ shall ultimately prosper. So Elisha was able to look at his servant and say, No, we've got this covered. Those who are with us are greater than those who are with them. And I'm sure the servant was kind of freaking out a little bit. Well, he's lost it. But look at verse 17. And this, quite frankly, this is one of my favorite lines in the entire Bible. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Lord, open his eyes that he may see into the unseen. Give him a glimpse of what is happening in the spiritual realm around us. Show him, Lord, your work that he is now unable to see. Number three is this. Just beyond our perception, there are heavenly warriors battling on our behalf. The Lord of hosts commands them concerning us. He is our refuge and our fortress. We lost something through the modern era when everything had to become empirically measurable. We lost something through the modern era in beginning to think that the only things that were real were those things that we could see and touch with our hands and measure with our instruments. But the Bible repeatedly tells us there is an unseen realm that we cannot see. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, we don't fight against flesh and blood. A human being is not your enemy. That human being is under the control and under the sway of spiritual realities that are seeking to do you harm and seeking to dishonor God. And so you may think, as I say these words right now, that this is somehow infantile, that we're going back to an archaic age when people believed in spirits and things of that nature. But the reality is, there are angels, there are demons. We are never to worship and follow the angels, for the angels are there to help us worship and follow God. And any angel in Scripture, that in fact in Revelation, John fell down to worship the angel who was showing him around, and the angel said, get up, don't do that, worship God. The only angel that we see accepting worship in Scripture is the angel of the Lord, which is the presence of God Himself there speaking, for example, to Moses through a bush on the side of the mountain that was burning but not consumed. So we do not worship angels. Angels are there to give us messages from God. Angels are there to help protect us. There's no scriptural evidence that each person has a guardian angel, but as I heard one theologian put it, sometimes angels play zone and not man to man. There are fallen angels, demons who serve the ultimate fallen angel, who is Satan, who seeks to steal and kill and destroy, who is the accuser of the brethren, who is a liar and the father of lies, who speaks his native language when he is deceiving. And yet, God is greater than all. But remember in Psalm 91, the psalmist said, he will command his angels concerning you. And indeed, he does. He is the Lord of hosts. And what are these hosts? These are the angelic armies. So we can know who goes before us and who stands behind. It is the Lord of hosts, the God, if you will, of angel armies, who is always by your side. God has entities surrounding us that are doing battle on our behalf. And they are under the command of Almighty God that we might know and worship Him better. Theologian Robert Leitner, in his book Angel, Satan, and Demons, says the Bible clearly presents angels as God's worshipers and messengers, those who carry out His bidding, assisting Him and His people. Besides these two chief functions in relation to God, they also have many responsibilities in relation to people, delivering messages from God to individuals, guiding and instructing God's people, delivering them from danger and death, observing human affairs, protecting God's people, providing strength and encouragement for God's special servants, and executing divine judgment on the deserving. We see all of those things in Scripture, but again, receive this warning, don't worship angels and don't seek to worship angels. For the Bible says that Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. That's in 2 Corinthians 11:14. But the purpose of any true angel who's serving Almighty God is to direct our attention to the power of God, the hand of God, God our Savior, who is our deliverer. But there is an unseen realm. And Elisha prayed, Lord, open my servant's eyes that he may see what's going on around us right now. And so it was true. They had the Syrians outnumbered. The servant just couldn't see it. Can I tell you some truth? Those who would come against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, are outnumbered. It may not feel that way, but there's a reality that you and I can't see. Just beyond our perception, God is doing battle. And let me tell you, our God never loses. He never loses. How about that? He's got a perfect record. Satan thought he had brought defeat on Calvary's Hill, but the third day came, and Satan realized he was defeated. Watch what happens, verse 18. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike this people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the power of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. So the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down? He answered, you shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you've taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went away to their master. And the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. Let me give you number four. God is neither afraid of nor intimidated by those who come against us, for he is Lord over all. God is neither afraid of nor intimidated by those who would come against us, for he is Lord of all. So this morning, who is your enemy? Who is the one who is coming against you? The Bible tells us that we battle against the flesh, the world, and the devil. Well, is your flesh betraying you? Are you dealing with sickness? Are you dealing with temptation or worry? Are you dealing with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life? Or is your enemy coming at you from the world and the hollow philosophies of the world that seem like wisdom but are truly foolishness in the face of Almighty God? Are you dealing with slander and false accusations? Or are you dealing with relational struggles that can be so bitter, whether it's in your family, in your marriage, in your workplace, or wherever it may be? Are you dealing with those sorts of relational struggles and relational turmoil? Or is Satan coming straight for you and you're dealing with his lying, his accusing, as he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour that he might steal and kill and destroy you? Can I tell you something? Regardless of who your enemy is, our God does not tremble. And so our prayer is this: Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes that we may see. Now, in this instance, he let Elisha's servant see all that was around him that he could not previously perceive. He's probably not going to let us see with our physical eyes all that is surrounding us. But I'll tell you this, he is our deliverer. He commands his angels concerning us in Jesus Christ. And so we are able to stand in faith, possessing a fortitude others lack. Why? Because the God of angel armies is always by our side. And so I don't know what you're facing this morning, but I know that if you're in Christ, your heavenly Father is not afraid of it. And your heavenly Father will deliver you through it. And your heavenly Father will see you to the future glory that he has secured for you in Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, there are so many things we don't know, so many things that we cannot see, and yet you call us to be still and to know that you are God. You will be exalted among the nations. You will be exalted in the earth. You, O Lord of hosts, are with us. You, O God of Jacob, are our fortress. And so, Lord, give us the firm faith to stand fortified in Christ, knowing that whatever battle we face, we do not face it alone, and whatever enemy we face, they do not cause you to tremble, for you are Lord over all. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of response, and if you need to receive Christ, or if you need to be baptized, or you're ready as a baptized believer to join our church, we want to invite you to come. But would you stand with me as we sing hymn number 490, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated Unto Thee. As we sing, our deacons and our staff are here. We'd love to pray with you, to pray for you, and to welcome you. Come in Jesus' name.